Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center presents Doc Talk, an informative health series educating our community on the services provided at Peace Health. We will begin with our host, George Henry, after these messages.
At some point in her life, one out of every eight women will get breast cancer. One out of eight. Most women can beat it, but only with early detection. Don't let breast cancer stop you. Mammograms save lives.
Better total care. Peace Harbor Imaging now has digital mammograms. Get one.
During uncertain times, the best way to stay healthy is to know the facts. Here are some ways we all can help stop the spread of COVID-19. Only leave your home for necessities. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Call your doctor before going to the clinic or hospital if you're experiencing COVID-19 symptoms. At Peace Health, the safety and well-being of our patients, caregivers, and communities is our highest priority. We are all in this together. For more information, log on to peacehealth.org/COVID.
On this edition of Doc Talk for the month of August, it's a little bit different. I'm going to introduce you to some folks who, without them, we couldn't do this program in the first place. And we're going to find out about recruiting and about staffing at Peace Harbor Medical Center. We're going to start off with Jason Hawkins, though, the Chief Administrative Officer. And Jason, good morning to you.
Good morning, George.
Now, before we introduce everybody, I just want to ask you a couple questions about staffing and about the number of jobs that you have available. I mean, we all hear about the COVID thing and how it's stressing everybody out and staff in all sorts of areas of business, including medical, are suffering a little bit. Can you tell me kind of what the status is?
Yeah, probably first start out, we have about 500 caregivers and providers on campus between the physician services and the hospital services. So, you know, at any given time, you know, we have excess of, you know, 10 open positions. You know, it can peak as many as 20. And recruiting every month through new caregiver orientation, we're bringing in somewhere between, you know, 5 to 10 new people every month. So always recruiting, either because of turnover or recruiting because of growth too, and especially growth in the outpatient side of things in the ambulatory space. And you know, certainly from a COVID perspective, you know, in the pandemic, we've seen folks maybe were willing to work a few more years, and maybe were working part time in the twilight of their career, and they were offering a lot of wisdom and experience. And some of those folks locally and across the country are decided to, you know, maybe end their career a little sooner than they had hoped. And so we're feeling some of the effects of that. But, you know, at any point in time, we're interviewing every week, probably every day there's some sort of interview happening here and trying to recruit for our community.
All right. Well, let's start off with some of the folks that are joining us today. We have Erica Carr, we have Grace Riggs, and Matt Richardson. And Erica, I'll pick on you first, last in, first up. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about your specialties in either recruiting or human resources, whichever it is.
Thanks for letting me join today. My name is Erica Carr, and I joined Peace Health in 2007. And primarily since that time, I've been recruiting for our facilities in the Eugene, Springfield, Cottage Grove area, although I have assisted with Florence in the past. And most recently, we'll be moving to assistant recruitment for Columbia West Network, which is up in Washington. So maybe can give a perspective today on, you know, not only what we're experiencing in Florence, but also statewide and Pacific Northwest wide.
Okay. Matt, how about you?
Thanks for having me on. Yeah. And so I joined Peace Health just last year, and I have been supporting our Florence facility since then, and helping out with Jason and his team in terms of recruiting our acute care positions in general at the hospital. And so that's what I've been supporting. And, you know, I think it's a great location. We have a great hospital there with great leaders, and, you know, talent acquisition and human resources is here to support and have that partnership there.
All right. Thank you. Grace, how about you?
Hi, good morning, George. Yes, I've been with Peace Health about 6 years, recruiting for Florence, and my recruitment is specific to providers, so physicians, nurse practitioners, and physician assistants.
Where does Peace Health rank in terms of largest employers in Western Lane County? Who's most able to answer? Is that you, Jason?
Yeah, I can jump in there a little bit. It's either us or the casino, it seems like, most of the time. We have about 513 caregivers and providers on campus here, and most of those folks all live right in Florence or the Mapleton area and work and buy their groceries and buy their cars and do a lot of their retail purchases at, you know, Safeway or Fred Meyer. So, yeah, we rank number one or number two here in West Lane.
Well, let's go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be right back with more on this edition of Doc Talk on Coast Radio.
At some point in her life, one out of every eight women will get breast cancer. One out of eight. Most women can beat it, but only with early detection. Don't let breast cancer stop you. Mammograms save lives.
Better total care. Peace Harbor Imaging now has digital mammograms. Get one.
During uncertain times, the best way to stay healthy is to know the facts. Here are some ways we all can help stop the spread of COVID-19. Only leave your home for necessities. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Call your doctor before going to the clinic or hospital if you're experiencing COVID-19 symptoms. At Peace Health, the safety and well-being of our patients, caregivers, and communities is our highest priority. We are all in this together. For more information, log on to peacehealth.org/COVID.
On the August edition of Our Town, we're speaking with some of the recruitment specialists with Peace Health Medical Center and who have involvement with the Peace Harbor here locally, as well as Jason Hawkins, the Chief Administrative Officer. I want to go to you, Erica, here and ask a couple of questions that are nonspecific for Florence as far as the overall recruitment opportunities there are. You have to obviously deal with a lot of people on a regular basis. How do you go about the choosing or the recruitment process?
Yeah, so we rely heavily on an application tracking system. That's how we generate how candidates would apply. And so we're working through those candidates on a daily basis. So those are the folks that see an opening with either, you know, whether it be Florence or any of our other facilities, they're applying, and then we're reaching out and making that connection with that candidate. And then in turn, getting them placed appropriately, you know, getting them in contact with the manager and facilitating that. We also go kind of above and beyond that and do something called sourcing, which is kind of a word that recruiters are going to be are really familiar with, where we're basically cold calling or trying to reach out to community members that maybe aren't job searching, but would be interested in applying if once they learn more about our great opportunities. So that's something when we have the bandwidth that we feel is really valuable, because as we all know, experiencing right now, our candidate pool is shrinking. So for us to be able to have the time to try and to attract talent that maybe hasn't applied yet is something that we're placing a lot of emphasis on.
This question is for any of the three of you. When you're looking at the pool out there, and you said it is dwindling, are you looking at more of the established individuals in healthcare, or are you looking at new graduates, new people coming in? Is it a combination of both? What is your preference as far as that goes?
You know, I'll jump in there. I think it's a combination of both. It depends on the department or the service that we're looking at, and mixture of, you know, new grads are always welcome, and we want to see what their background is, but we want to make sure that if we're looking at a certain service line or department, we have a mix of youthfulness and as well as wisdom and experience. You know, we've just recently, you know, Jessica and Luda just are two local people that were working in the hospital that just went back to nursing school and were working full time and going to school and just graduated and passed their board. So while they're new grads, they've been with us for several years. So it's kind of the best of both worlds when we can do something like that.
Matt, now you said that you deal mainly with recruiting for acute care. Give me your best pitch to maybe a new recruit that you're looking to bring to. Obviously, if we bring them to Florence, we kind of know that this is a selling tool already. But before that point, what do you tell them when they ask, you know, why is this a place I should come work?
I think, again, we can go back to the point of the hospital and the interaction, I think, with our hiring leaders that we have, the relationship that they're going to build with this and the community that they're going to be in, right? Florence is a great community. You talked about how it's kind of sells itself. It's a small coastal town. A lot of people who want to be here is going to be here. And I think that just kind of adds that incentive for us in recruiting to really kind of drive that home, right? You want to be in the community-based hospital. You know, you want to make sure that you have good interactions with the community, work with those leaders in those departments that we're hiring you into, and just be part of Florence itself. And then that's kind of what we do on the recruitment side, is really talk about that relationship that you'll have, the small teams that you'll be with, you know, the different groups that you'll be in, whether it be in the ICU, the ER, the medical unit that we have, the ICU unit, that's the acute care units that we have at our hospital.
All right. Now, Grace mentioned she mainly deals with working with recruiting doctors and physicians. With the acute care, are you all over the career path spectrum there, or are you mainly dealing with doctors as well?
Well, no, with the acute care side, we are mainly dealing with registered nurses. So that's the kind of positions we have on the talent acquisition side. A little different from what Grace does, where she does, you know, recruit the doctors, the nurse practitioners, those kind of folks.
All right. Now, Grace, as far as that goes, one of the issues that we, of course, all know about dealing with here in the Florence community is housing. I would imagine you have a little bit easier job on your end because salaries of doctors and PAs and that have a little bit more ability to buy some of the more expensive housing here, and we don't have a lot of cheaper. Is that something you have to deal with on a regular basis?
It is. even though they have the ability to purchase homes, the sizes are still a problem. It's hard to find a 4-bedroom home in Florence. So we do our best. Oftentimes they'll try and rent before they buy, just to be able to see what's available in the market and find the house that they're looking for.
Well, over the last few years, we've heard a lot about provider shortages, and people still report having difficulty signing on to a primary care provider. And then there's also the idea of primary care providers switching, and people have to go from one and then to a new one when they come in. What's the status? Where are we on that?
I can jump in here a little bit, and Grace, you can finish it out. So we have about, two openings right now on the outpatient ambulatory side, George, primary care-wise. We did have three, and we have one coming in January. Stephanie Schick's going to be joining us on that end, and cardiology physician's assistant's going to be starting in September. I don't know, Grace, if you want to talk a little bit more about what the number of candidates you have coming in August and part of September.
Sure. We have about an interview a week out there right now. The hardest part is getting everybody's schedule put together so that they get to meet everybody that they need to meet in their department. But we have a hospitalist coming in and interviewing tomorrow, another one on the 17th, and another one on the 24th. And we're hopeful that we'll be able to make an offer to one of those candidates from that group. And then primary care, we just had a candidate out Tuesday, and we have another one at the end of the week to fill a second opening that we have. But yes, like Jason had mentioned, we do have a primary care provider, Stephanie Schick, who's starting in January. Carrie Shannon, we're really excited to have Dr. Shannon start. She's an emergency medicine physician. She will also be starting in September, along with Catherine Bischoff, who's a PA for cardiology. She will be on site starting later in the year, but doing some training up at River Bend with the cardiology team there. And then we also have a behavioral health provider, Nicole Baxter, starting later this month. And then another physician, hospitalist, will be doing some per diem or relief work for us starting on Monday.
Erica, we kind of touched on this a little bit in one of the previous answers, but it's obviously challenging to fill these positions. What factors are at play other than, you know, the older folks that worked in the medical field retiring and, you know, maybe not enough new folks coming in through the system?
Gosh, I mean, we touched on housing. That's a big one, you know, in Florence, but also in Lane County, or with Eugene Springfield, up into our other hospitals in Washington. That's something that we're continuously running into. We have a lot of folks that are interested in moving to this area from around the country because it's so beautiful. But I've encountered nurses that are excited to come and have to pull out last minute because they just can't find the housing. So that's so unfortunate, especially last year with the wildfires that added a whole nother level to it. So that's been a really big challenge. Again, just the folks retiring, you know, turnover, leaving the area. As much as this area is beautiful and people are coming here, they're also leaving for various reasons. So backfilling those folks. So, of course, COVID's just added a whole other layer to it. It's always been challenging healthcare, but this last year and a half, now going on 2 years, has been particularly challenging.
Now, I'm sure that with COVID out there, people aren't wanting to move around as much. I also wonder, though, it's got a lot of national press, but it's probably not something that's hit people's minds quite yet. But it's the idea of we're in our second major heat wave of the summer. We're hitting degrees that are really high. You know, people think of this region as being rainy and cooler. Has that played? Have you heard any people talk about, oh, I just don't know because the way the weather's going?
No, you know, if anything, it's the opposite, where we're attracting those folks from Arizona and Texas who want to get out of the heat. And like you said, their first inclination is, oh, Oregon's rainy and cool. And I'm like, little do they know. But Florence would be a great alternative for them. But I haven't heard that so much recently. It's been, you know, earlier it was, we did have an uptick in people being interested in the area because, like, their spouse, which I think tends to be a problem in certain areas. Like, maybe they can find a position, but can a partner or spouse find something? When they're now able to work remote, that kind of opens up some more possibilities. So I'm hoping that we benefit from that. But at the same time, then that's still leading to our continued housing issues.
All right, I'll ask this question of all three of you, but probably it's going to be the similar answer to all. So, Grace, I'll start with you, and if anybody has an addition to the question, then please feel free to jump in. But obviously, you have a plan of attack when you're talking to providers and a strategy and tactic you use. What? Give me a little bit of an idea of how you do that.
For me, in the recruitment for physicians, nurse practitioners, and physician assistants, it's a lot of kind of sharing with them what an average day would be like and the people that they would be working with. So I focus on that. I do let them know that they have, you know, a very involved leadership team with Jason Hawkins and Dr. MacArthur and Sherry Payne, and that they have FaceTime with all of those people on a pretty regular basis as well. Florence has always had a great work-life balance. So easy to get out in the outdoors. So many, it's endless, the outdoor activities that you can do in Florence. And so sharing with them a little bit of that. But I also share with them that Florence has had, for many years, the highest provider satisfaction scores out of all the Peace Health locations for providers, and that includes all of Oregon, Washington, and Alaska. I think it's important that they know the team that they're going to be working with, and that they are a good fit with them as well. So that's kind of where I start.
Now, Matt, I would think that, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I, you know, I'm in a profession where I could easily move around from one city to another and do this job wherever I went. I'm pretty sure doctors and nurses and registered nurses probably feel the same way, that their job's going to be pretty similar wherever they go. So quality of life, obviously, as Grace touched on a little bit, is there. Do you spend a lot of time with, you know, what the amenities are when talking to a recruit?
Honestly, it just depends on every scenario, right? Every candidate we talk to, we want to tailor our questions and the answers for them as best we can to what makes sense for them, right? If it does increase, that we need to increase maybe some more things that we need to share with them in terms of outside work experience or things that they're looking at, for more information, for example, then I'll definitely share that. But I think your Grace's touches on it correctly. You know, I think there's lots of FaceTime, lots of great leadership with starting with Jason there at the hospital. They'll get that information. You know, a lot of times the leaders at the hospital, when they interview them, will answer through a ton of the questions that the candidates will have. And so they feel a little more at ease when they make that decision to join Peace Harbor.
Yeah, I guess that it would depend on, like, you get their resume, you get their application. And if they have, you know, at the bottom of hobbies and stuff like that, if they have a list of 20 or 30 things you might want to touch on, hey, those are available here if you're looking for a good place to go.
Yeah, absolutely. George, can I weigh in on something?
Yes, absolutely. Erica?
You know, I think with a lot of our candidates, we're a very mission-driven organization, and that really resonates with people. And like, I always give a story, and I get choked up when I talk about it. It was last year during when we had the wildfires. I was sitting at my desk, and we were under evacuation notice, but a lot of our caregivers were actually being evacuated. And I got a phone call from on my cell phone. Here I'm working. I got a phone call from Riverbend number or from Peace Health number. And I picked up because I thought, who's calling me? And so it was somebody from work that in our incident command who just was calling to check in on how I was doing and offered to provide hotel accommodations should I need them. And I didn't. We were in a situation. It wasn't necessary. But I thought, gosh, I'm work for an organization that is literally going down the list and calling people one by one to check in on them. I mean, that's living the mission right there. So I tell that story, and usually I can keep it together better to tell people that. But I just think, you know, to work for a company that for an organization that will do that, and that's just a tip of the iceberg of a lot of ways we support the community, whether it be in, you know, Florence or Eugene or Ketchikan. I think that's a good example, and a lot of people, that does resonate with them, and they want to work for an organization like that.
All right, I got to be honest, you got me choked up now, so we're going to take a break.
I mean, it's just a simple thing, you know, when you think back, like, oh, that's actually a simple thing that they did, but I think, and it really stuck with me clearly, and so I'm imagining it, and can you imagine those caregivers that we had on staff who really needed that hotel or needed that support? That was a beautiful thing to provide for them.
Absolutely. Your passion is infectious for sure. Let's take a break now. We're speaking with some of the recruiter specialists for Peace Health, Peace Harbor Medical Center, or Peace Health Medical Center and Peace Harbor. We'll be back in just a moment.
At some point in her life, one out of every eight women will get breast cancer. One out of eight. Most women can beat it, but only with early detection. Don't let breast cancer stop you. Mammograms save lives.
Better total care. Peace Harbor Imaging now has digital mammograms. Get one.
During uncertain times, the best way to stay healthy is to know the facts. Here are some ways we all can help stop the spread of COVID-19. Only leave your home for necessities. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Call your doctor before going to the clinic or hospital if you're experiencing COVID-19 symptoms. At Peace Health, the safety and well-being of our patients, caregivers, and communities is our highest priority. We are all in this together. For more information, log on to peacehealth.org/COVID.
On this edition of Doc Talk, we're talking to some of the recruiter specialists with Peace Health out of Eugene and here in Florence with Peace Harbor Hospital. Erica Carr is here with us, Matt Richardson, Grace Riggs, and Jason Hawkins, the CAO of Peace Health, Peace Harbor Medical Center here in town. Now, I was talking with Dr. Heather MacArthur and Dr. Willie Foster just the other day, and they were talking about, you know, one of the problems with the COVID-19, obviously, is there are a lot of beds being taken up by that, and yet we still have ongoing emergencies that happen, and we're having to move patients out of the area even to get them care. And, you know, that's more about beds, but is some of the staffing issues also affecting that? Jason, maybe you would do.
Yeah, I can weigh in on that. It's multifactorial. You know, there's a shortage of nurses in our hospitals that maybe can limit the patients we can take across the country, across the Pacific Northwest. And yeah, we've had to, you know, transfer patients. Most of them can get to Riverbend, but they've been full, and sometimes then we start going up and down the I-5 corridor. And recently we were making phone calls into Reno and Boise to have a patient transferred into critical care. And, you know, and sometimes there's patients in our facility that we are, have been somewhat plateaued in their plan of care, and they need to be transferred to assisted living or a nursing home, or maybe at home for attended care. But they're limiting what they can do sometimes, because maybe there's a shortage of CNAs in nursing homes. There's a shortage of home care attendants as well. And it's just really has a domino effect on things. So sometimes we have patients that we need to move on into other environments of care more appropriate, so we can take other patients that need to be seen. So it's a systemic issue for all of us.
Now, the next question here is about growing your own nurses locally at Peace Harbor Hospital. And I know that's talking about recruiting from the high schools, LCC, and that. Is the shortage so bad that you'd rather not also recruit from CNAs and CNA2s that might be there working, that might want to advance? Or is everything an open option now? I guess, Matt, that would be maybe more for you.
Yeah, I can definitely answer that. I know Jason touched on it earlier. We have a nurse residency program that we just started for new grads, and the two folks that we did move into that are CNAs at the hospital now. So I think it's that seamless transition that they're going through. We also do look at candidates from Lane Community College, other schools in general that's in the area, to help kind of funnel through our new grad residency program. We have a great partnership at Riverbend with our coordinator there, Stacy January. So I think we have a great program. We're looking at things in terms of growth, right, and kind of the things we're looking at. So Jason, did you want to add any more information? Kind of hopefully that summarized.
Yeah, a couple comments. I think, you know, George, it's important if people are wanting to advance themselves for their own professional personal development for them or their families, we need to give them those swim lanes to do that. So in the case of Jessica and Luda, we were very, very excited for them to go through that, pass their boards, and now on the residency program. And we had a couple of other folks in the ED that are doing the same thing and are going back to nursing school, one of our patient account representatives in ED Tech. And so just excited to see them advance. And then to your point, actually today I have a meeting with Andy and Russ at the school and at Sisla School and Lane Community College to talk about how we can start figuring out how we can continue to grow, you know, CNAs. So they come out of high school as a CNA1 or perhaps even a CNA2, and really how we can get people started and take bites into their healthcare career. And maybe coming out of school, high school, and going right into RN school isn't what someone's wanting to do. And we can get them started as a CNA, CNA2 or an MA or something. And then they might want to think about becoming an RN, and then we can tap into some of our tuition reimbursement programs that we have within our benefit package. And I think it's just incumbent upon us to continue to encourage people that they can go into healthcare and serve their community and provide for their families.
Yeah, there's kind of no better way to get started than on a ground level to make sure that's something you really want to do. And people that have a heart for dealing with care with patients and that will find out right away if that's something that they want to continue on. So I think that the high school and college is a good area to take a look at. We talked about advancement. We talked about the advancement for CNAs and RNs. What are some other career opportunities at Peace Harbor? I don't know. Let's see. Grace, you want to take a stab at that? Or, oh no, I guess because you're dealing with physicians, that might not be. Who wants to take a poke at that?
I can definitely jump in. And then if Jason wanted to add some more stuff, he definitely knows kind of what positions are at his hospital. But, you know, we do have other areas besides registered nurses that we, in terms of career opportunities at Peace Harbor, we're talking about dietitians, food services, environmental service positions, non-acute care positions we have as well. We also have some other positions that are subsets within the acute care, like a sterile processing technicians. And in the OR, we also have surgical technologists that come join. And we actually have somebody joining at the end of the month from up in Alaska. He's moving down to Florence, actually, to do and work as a surgical technologist for us in our OR. So anything else, Jason, that you can think of that I've seen recently?
Yeah, really about everything, a lab folks, phlebotomy, lab assistants, MTs, MLTs, imaging technologists, ultrasound, CT, MR, therapists. We have, 20 therapists now between physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy. And then, you know, we have the non-clinical jobs like IT, you know, folks, EBS and housekeeping facilities. Really, just about everything is kind of available on this campus that people might find a way to have an occupation at a staple employer here in town.
Now, we're kind of running out of time, so I want to ask, and I guess Jason will ask you about that because you're very familiar with the community as a whole. But one of the big things that everybody's having problems with is food service hires and staffing at hotels and motels and that environmental services stuff. Is that something that's affecting you guys as well?
Yeah, it certainly is. And, you know, we're doing our best to remain competitive in our wages and trying to make sure that people are enjoying working here and they find it a family and collegial atmosphere. But, you know, we are constantly competing. Our patient account representatives is a tough one. The frontline registration folks when you come into the lobby. But yeah, we're competing with EBS, with the hotel and restaurant, hospitality industry as well. So it's tough sledding. We try to create a good kind of family atmosphere and a decent wage and benefits. And, those kind of entry level positions, oftentimes we're recruiting, but recruiting locally for those folks. A lot of the other ones are moving into town. And I guess it'd be good to point out, Matt came down a couple weeks ago. There was a job fair at the FEC, and there was about six employers, healthcare employers in town, assisted living, nursing homes. And I think we had four people show up, George. Yeah. So it's tough. It seems like the job market has been exhausted. So it's kind of, you don't want to be taking from other people. That's not really what you want to get into, because it's just not good for any of us. So we need to find ways to do it smarter and continue to recruit people into town for these kind of occupations.
And again, the high school is probably a good place for CNAs, CNA2s, because they've already established here. They've already got homes here. They don't have to worry about mm-hmm. finding a place to live. Their parents may let them stay with them until they get situated. Mm-hmm. So that would definitely be helpful.
Yeah. We just hired a patient account representative, and she ultimately wants to become a certified coding specialist. So, it's a great way to learn the business and a great way to get involved and learn the terminology as they go back to school.
Jason, I guess this final question is for you. Have you done a needs assessment for the community, or is the hospital a needs assessment for the community as we get into the next 10, 20 years of aging people and, the needs, the growth?
Yeah, we're well aware of the demographics as they continue to shift and the utilization of healthcare. And we know that oftentimes if people want to move to Florence, one of the first questions they ask is, can I get a healthcare provider? And what's the healthcare system like here? And they're often pleasantly surprised that we have both high touch and high tech here and being part of a system. And yet everybody treats you like family and friends and neighbors. So we recognize that there's continued to be a growing need for primary care, cardiology services for sure. It's why we're improving that service line over the last 12 months or so. And yet we're also really investing in the obstetric and women's health program too, both for this more senior population as well as the younger folks. So we want to make sure that we don't completely miss that hospitality industry that's kind of taken care of and servicing a lot of the more senior population in town. We want to make sure they have access to care as well.
All right. I'd like to thank Matt Richardson, Grace Riggs, Erica Carr, and Jason Hawkins. Thank you to all of you for joining us today, and really good information out there. And I'd like to encourage people to if they're interested in a job in healthcare, to contact Peace Health and Peace Harbor Medical Center. I don't think you can go wrong. Thank you all for being here.
Thanks,
George. Thank you, George.
You have been listening to Doc Talk, presented by Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. For more information on the program and services provided, visit peacehealth.org.